Translation. I have studied the path of understanding the self-knowledge from my spiritual master, the Personality of Godhead, and thus, after circumambulating him, I have come to this place very much aggrieved to the separation. Purport. Sri Uddhava's actual life is a direct symbol of Chatur Shloki, Bhagavatam, enunciated first to Brahmaji by the Personality of Godhead. Those four very great and important verses from Srimad Bhagavatam are particularly taken out by the Mayavadi speculators who construe a different purport to suit their impersonal view of monism. Here is the proper answer to such unauthorized speculators. The verses of Srimad Bhagavatam are purely theistic science understandable by the postgraduate students of Bhagavad Gita. The unauthorized dry speculators are offenders at the lotus feet of the Lord Sri Krishna because they distort the purport of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam to mislead the public and prepare a direct path to the hell known as Andhata Mishra. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 16:20, such new speculators are without knowledge and are much condemned life after life. They unnecessarily take shelter of Sripa Shankaracharya, but he was not so drastic as to commit an offense at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. According to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sripa Shankaracharya preached the Mayavada philosophy for the particular purpose. Such philosophy was necessary to defeat the Buddhist philosophy and to defeat Buddhist philosophy of the non-existence of the spirit soul, but it was never meant for perpetual acceptance. It was an emergency. Thus, Lord Krishna was accepted by Shankaracharya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his commentation on Bhagavad Gita. Since he was a great devotee of Lord Krishna, he did not dare to write any commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, because that would have been a direct offense at the lotus feet of Lord. But later speculators, in the name of Mayavada philosophy, unnecessarily make their commentary on the Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam without any bona fide intent. The monistic dry speculators have no business in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The monistic dry speculators have no business in the Srimad Bhagavatam because this particular Vedic literature is forbidden for them by the great author himself. Srila Vyasadeva has definitely forbidden persons engaged in religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and finally salvation from trying to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, which is not meant for them. Bhagavatam 1.1.2. Sripad Shankaracharya, Sridhara Swami, the great commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam, has definitely forbidden the salvationist or monist to deal in Srimad Bhagavatam. It is not for them. Yet such unauthorized persons perversely try to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, and thus they commit offenses at the lotus feet of the Lord, which even Sripad Shankaracharya dare not to. Thus, they prepare for their continuation of miserable life. It should be particularly noted herein that Uddhava studied the Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam directly from the Lord, who spoke them first to Brahmaji, and this time the Lord explained more confidentially the self-knowledge mentioned as the Paramam Stithim. Upon learning such self-knowledge of love, Uddhava felt very much aggrieved by feelings of separation from the Lord. Unless one is awakened to the stage of Uddhava, everlastingly feeling the separation from the Lord in transcendental love, as exhibited by Lord Chaitanya also, one cannot understand the real import of the four essential verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. One should not indulge in the unauthorized act of twisting the meaning and thereby putting himself on the dangerous path of offense. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay, I'll try to share some meditation on it. I wish to sit there that somebody who is much better explain these wonderful words. It's like so many points that anyone who is proper devotee would be excited. But anyway, some scatter notes during these days of busyness. Okay. So Prabhupada at the beginning said that Uddhava was living representation of Srimad Bhagavat, Chatushloki. In other words, he was person Bhagavat. There is a book Bhagavat, there is a person Bhagavat, one who living Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Uddhava, or any Vaishnava is supposed to be like person Bhagavat, representative of Bhagavatam, of Chatushloki. So Chatushlokis are the core of Srimad Bhagavatam, very core. And what is the core of Srimad Bhagavatam? And you can throw the hint. What is the very core of Srimad Bhagavatam? Sorry? One of those. But the very core. Chatushloki, yes, also. And there's a core of Chatushloki also. First one, yeah. You go closer, hot. Which is the source of it's personalism. It's interesting that this is first verse, and Krishna straight away in Chatushloki said like three times, me. So this was the most important point in entire spiritual life, to come to understand that God is the person. And then, because it's not my opinion, because Krishna stressed this in very first sentence, the personalism. That's what God is, a person. And indeed, Srila Prabhupada in his teachings, from very beginning, this was his first stress, and through all his preaching work, most of the time, he was quoting this, that God is a person, personalism, up to the end. So for anyone who wants to enter in spiritual life, until he comes to that, he is not practicing spiritual life. That God is a person. That's the word very important. Anyway, although this last paragraph here points out who is qualified to accept Chatushloki, as he said, unless, what he said, unless something, this is 20, version. Unless one is awakened to the stage of Uddhava, everlastingly feeling the separation of the Lord in transcendental love, as exhibited by Lord Chaitanya also, one cannot understand the really import of the four essential verses. We are heading to that. We are not on that level, but we desire to, so this kind of qualifies us to mingle a little bit about. So these are four shlokis. I prefer to, when I read, to summarize verse on very few lines. This is much more easy to meditate on when I read. Because even this verse, if you see Chatushloki, it's very poetic. If you really meditate on it, it's very poetic. It can mean, every word can mean like so many meanings. So try to a little bit play with, not play, but just share some of Chatushloki. So first question of Lord Brahma. It's interesting that, anyway, the Brahma could ask those questions only after he got darshan of the Lord. Before that, he couldn't ask that question. When he appeared on the lotus, he was totally bewildered. And he had some his own ability, he was nothing there. And he tried on his own. This is kind of natural primordial tendency in all of us to come to understanding of something on our own. Is it true in your spiritual life? You try on your own. when you ask questions, on your ability. Only when these attempts are frustrated, then you can approach the authority. So that's what happened in Brahma. He tried on his own, couldn't understand. He could see only lotus. And then tried to go down the stem. He couldn't find anything. So his conclusion probably was there's nothing there. By own abilities, intellectual abilities, whatever, you can come only to that point, impersonal. Because you cannot understand that. Only by mercy of authority, which is Guru, you can start to question as Lord Brahma. Only when you got darshan with the Lord, then he could ask those questions. Very, very first question is he asking about personality. So all this is revealed in his heart. It's interesting there, when he was meditating so long time, when he heard word tapa, perform austerity, Prabhupada said, and Acharya says, he was performing austerities in bhakti yoga. So what sort of meditation or austerity you are performing bhakti yoga? There's nothing there. We are so fortunate, we have so many activities to do. Brahma had nothing, absolutely nothing. It was not even light, nothing. And he said he was performing meditation in bhakti yoga. How that comes? What sort of meditation he was meditating? Because he didn't know anything. Any ideas? Well, he didn't know. He just heard the sound. Anyway, make sure time is running. Because he heard this later on in verses, or in after Chatushloki, Brahma explained to him, because you followed in the heart instructions I gave you through the sound vibration, tapa. This is form of bhakti yoga. You accept instructions of guru, of authority. And he was meditating, and then later on, of course, this is his performance. Like if somebody would give you just a chair and put you in a desert or somewhere at night, no light, and said, meditate, perform devotional service. What you would do there? Like something like similar, like there's nothing there. So, but instructions, that's a bhakti yoga. Anyway. So we're going to go a little bit into Chatushloki. That Lord Brahma asks, what is the nature of your form, of your personality? This is the first question, asking about personality. Acceptance of personality is first. What is form of your personality? In all respects. This is like Sambandha refers to the relationship. What is your person? But Lord explains first thing, I was at the beginning before creation starts. I'm in present now as you see me. And when everything is annihilated, I'll be there. So first establishes this personality in the first shloka. And Mayavadis try to deny this very first thing. Take this personality of Godhead from his creation. And then in second question, he said, how your energies interact. So you see, he was fascinated with the Lord and then asking about his energy, how they interact. And then Krishna says, they interact in such a way that whatever you see of any value, if it's not in connection with me, is illusion. Like a lightness reflected in darkness is illusion totally. So this is position of Mayavadis. They're dealing with this illusion, which is not real. So their philosophy is total illusion. They try to deny personality and deal with the illusion painfully to screw some meaning out of it. And the third question, Brahma asks, what's the nature of your lila? Or in other words, how you play with your energies? For creation, maintenance, this also. What is your lila? This refers to Prayojana. I want to know about you, about this goal, how you play, about your activities. This is question of Brahma. And then here is presented, we can say, Achintya Veda, Veda Tattva, when Lord says, as material elements enter into this cosmos and simultaneously do not enter into cosmos. Similarly, I myself, I'm in everything, but I'm outside of everything. Again, point on individuality. I, my energies create everything, but they're my own personal abode, personal form, personal associates, which is outside of everything. Again, personality. And then on the end, last question, Brahma asks, how can I attain you? Which is abhideya, process. How can I attain you? And then in the same time, how can I be free of pride, illusion that I'm a creator? Because you got a task to create a material universe. And the answer is, in all circumstances, in all times, all places, one has to search up to this point. Which point? Up to, we just mentioned in 3 points, is to search up the point that I'm a person and I, my energies, up to this. This is entry into spiritual life. You may call yourself spiritualist, but until you enter into this point that God is a person with his energies, that's the beginning of spiritual life. He says, in all circumstances, all places, all times, to search for that point. So that's a Chatur Shloki summarize. And Prabhupada, lots of points, speaking a lot of Shankaracharya and Mayavada philosophy, of course, said that. Interesting that I was never, by mercy of Prabhupada, I was never so inimical to Shankaracharya as a person. Like when you read Bhagavatam, and here also Lord Chaitanya mentioned, he's not, you know, he was personalist, but for the time being, his order was to preach Mayavada philosophy with intent that slowly brings them to the personality. And then interesting, there are quite few biographies of Shankaracharya, although, you know, some opinion is that they are not so verified because they all came much later of the Shankara's life. But there is one biography of his direct disciple, which is kind of considered best of all. And then this follower, disciple, says that he was never sure, these disciples, they never sure what was intent of Shankaracharya. They were never sure about that. And then he mentioned one instance when mother of Shankaracharya was asking him, okay, my son, who is and what is, whatever, who is that worshipful deity you worship in core of your heart? She asked few times. Few times Shankaracharya referred to Nirakara or whatever, you know, this normal preaching. But as she was insisting, he admitted that he worships Govinda in the heart of his heart. And indeed, of course, he was disgusted with his followers towards the end. He would preach Mayavada philosophy, but he would here and there throw personhood, or Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then, this big disservice, we know, like in India, Mayavada is most pervading philosophy, like Advaita, Vada, most pervading everywhere. So that's a... And I was wondering, such a disservice he did, Shankaracharya. Like, it's very hard to break this down to those who are so attached to this impersonal philosophy. Shankaracharya, he was personalist, but his followers become so attached to impersonal view that they just stick to it so strongly that they try to twist and change. So this is a painful process, like Chatur Shloki. It's so straightforward, so direct. But they dare to deal with it, to twist some meaning out of it. Same like any genuine religion, there are only a few cores, small group of core believers, teachers, practitioners who understood message and practice. But when a religion is created, then is all kinds of ideas coming through. Same in my other philosophy. They try to painfully 20 Bhagavad Gita, Desha Tikaraste Sham Avyakta Sakta Cheta Sam. What's Avyakta here? Nam. Yeah, so those who are attached to impersonal, unmanifested, their advancement is very, very troublesome. To make progress in that path is extremely difficult, is painful. So that's a Mayavadi. They are attached to the idea of impersonal, and then they try to justify by finding a way to justify their beliefs. This is a very painful process. Take something simple and then spend your lifetimes to twist. And in a way, Prabhupada said, they're paving their way to to hell. Mention here name of hell, whatever. Manda Tamishra. It said that those who mislead others, they go to that hell. And so we back to Shankaracharya. It's interesting that and in Padma Purana there is nice. There is a description how this come to be, and it's best if I just read. There's so many revealing points in that conversation. Okay. This is adapted from Sri Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda. Once upon a time, Parvati said, "O Lord, O best of gods, I want to ask you something secret. Through love for me, please answer. I have a great doubt. The Shastras condemn using skulls, decorating the body with the ashes, and wearing skins of animals. Yet you do all these things. Why are these things condemned, O Lord of the gods? Highly intelligent one, due to woman's natural flickerness, I'm asking you these questions." And then Lord Shiva describes, inquired thus by Parvati in that lonely place, free from people, Lord Shiva explained to her great secret of his own behavior. Shiva said, "O goddess, please listen carefully. I shall tell you a wonderful secret." He said, "Long, long ago, in the age Svayambhuva Manu, there were many great demons like Namuchi, who were very powerful and valiant heroes. All of them were devoted to Lord Vishnu, acted purely and were free from all sins." It's interesting. Demons initially were followers of Vedic injunctions, were free from all sins. It's kind of very interesting. Acted purely, free from all sins. They followed the practices laid down in the Vedas. Seeing this, all gods headed by Indra were greatly frustrated. Overcome by fear, they approached Lord Vishnu and took shelter of him. That means they couldn't defeat him. They were following Vedic very strictly. Then they approached Lord Vishnu. The Deva said, "O Keshava, only you can conquer these great demons who cannot be conquered by all the gods and who have washed off their sins with penance." It means they would disturbing the demons, the demigods, but they would perform austerities. And by these austerities, they would wash off their sinful reactions. Therefore, it is so powerful. Lord Shiva continued, hearing the frightful words of demigods, Lord Vishnu, Purushottama, consoled the devas and said to me, "O Rudra, O you of mighty arms, O you who are the best of the gods, for the purpose of deluding enemies of the demigods, prepare a course of conduct to be followed by Pashandis." Who are Pashandis? Atheists, those who don't believe in authority. "Narrate to them the dark Puranas, which will take them astray. O intelligent one, you should create holy texts that will cause the demons to become confused." So, although demons were following Vedas, still the Lord preferred demigods and decided to create a plan to help them. "Through devotion to me," Shiva, "through devotion to me, Shiva, for the good of the world, you should approach atheistic sages such as Kanada, Gautama, Shakti, Upamanyu, Jaimini, Kapila, atheist, not Devahuti's son, Durvasa, Mrikandu, Brihaspati, Bhargava, and Jamadagni. Interesting, these are all famous sages through the scriptures to mention his name. But they were all influenced by Shiva to delude, to start to preach and accept unauthorized philosophy. Exert upon them your power of suggestion. Being infused by your power, they will become powerful Pashandis. So all these yogi, whatever, saints, very famous, they are Pashandis. There is no doubt about it. Empowered by you, these Brahmanas will narrate to the three worlds the Puranas and doctrines in the mode of ignorance. O Shiva, on your person you should bear symbols like a skull, animal skins, ashes and bones. Dressed in a way you should fully delude everyone in the three worlds. You should also inaugurate the Pashupata order. Pashupatas are a group of followers of Lord Shiva, with its divisions of Kankala, Shaiva, Pashanda, and Mahashaiva. Through these persons, you should preach doctrine whose followers wear no particular identifying marks and are outside of Vedic fold. Bearing ashes and bones, they will be bereft of higher consciousness and will consider you to be the greatest god. Taken to these doctrines, all of these demons will become averse to me in a moment. There is no doubt about it. O powerful Rudra, in every age, in my different incarnations, too, I shall worship you to delude the demons. That means even incarnation of Krishna, avatar, as they come, that sometime worship Lord Shiva, just to lead them further to the demons. Oh, even Shiva worship Krishna. It's such a kind of enormous plan. I shall too worship you to delude the demons. Following these doctrines, they will undoubtedly fall down. Lord Shiva then told Parvati, O beautiful one, after hearing Lord Vishnu's words, although I am a good speaker, I become helpless and silent. Then offering my obeisances to Lord Vishnu, I said, O Lord, if I do that you have said, I will certainly lead to my destruction. It is not possible for me to carry out these instructions, yet your order is not to be disobeyed. This is very painful. O Goddess, hearing my words, Vishnu spoke in such a way to restore my happiness. He said, this will not be the cause of your destruction. Do as I order for the good of the demigods. I shall also give you the means to maintain yourself while you are preaching these demoniac philosophies. Then, with compassion, Lord Vishnu gave me the prayers known as Vishnu Sahasranama. Vishnu said, install me in your heart, utter my indestructible mantras. This very powerful six-syllable mantra is transcendental and awards liberation to this who worship me with devotion. There is no doubt about this. So I gave him a mantra. I offer my obeisance unto him, dark like the petals of a blue lotus, with lotus petals eyes, holding a conch disc, sharinga bow, adorned with the ornaments, wearing yellow ornaments, having four arms, and who is the dear lord of Janaki, Sita Devi, and so forth. So all the sinful reactions due to wearing ashes and bones will be destroyed, and everything will become auspicious due to reciting this mantra. O best of the gods, being pleased, I shall destroy all sin. By my blessings, devotion to no other god than me will arise in your heart. Worship me, who is a supreme being. Obey my order due to love for me. Everything will be auspicious for you. Having thus ordered me, O goddess, he dismissed the host of the gods, who then returned to their own abodes. The gods, led by Indra, then requested me, O Mahadev Shiva, quickly perform those beneficial acts as instructed by Lord Vishnu. Mahadeva then said to Goddess Parvati, O auspicious one, for the good of the gods, I took the way of the Pashandis, and started wearing skulls, hides, ashes, and bones, auspicious one, as instructed by Lord Vishnu, I distributed Tamastic Puranas and the Pashandi Shiva doctrines, O sinless one, by entering Gautama and other Brahmanas with my potency, I proclaimed texts outside of the Vedic fold. Adopting the system I gave, all of the wicked demons became averse to Lord Vishnu and were enveloped in ignorance. Applying ashes to their bodies and performing severe penances, they stopped worship Lord Vishnu and worshipped only me with flesh, blood, and sandalwood. So this is how deluded demons, they stop to perform Vedic rites. They fall down. Receiving boons from me, they become intoxicated with power and pride. They were much attached to the object of senses and were full of lust and anger. In that condition, devoid of goodness, they were defeated by the devas, bereft of righteous paths. Those who resort to this doctrine of mine will always go to hell. So this is destiny of all impersonalists. O Goddess, thus his behavior of mine is only followed by me for the good of the gods. Following Lord Vishnu's order, I decorate myself with ashes and bones. And so forth. It was stripped down then. And then Parvati asks, O sinless one, tell me about the tamastic scriptures that were composed by the Brahmanas bereft of devotion to the Lord. O Lord of the demigods, please tell me the names of their sequence. Lord Shiva replied, O Goddess, please listen. In sequence I shall tell you about the tamastic text. Simply by remembering them, even wise persons become deluded. First, I myself proclaim the Shiva, Pashupata, and related text. After my power had entered him, Kanada preached the Vaisheshika philosophy. Similarly, Gautama preached Nyaya, Kapila preached the atheistic Sankhya, Brihaspati preached the much censored Charvaka doctrine, and Buddha proclaimed Buddhism to destroy the demons. Mayavada or Advaita philosophy is an impious, wicked belief and against all the conclusions of the Vedas. It is only covered Buddhism. My dear Parvati, in Kali Yuga, I assume the form of a Brahmana, Adi Shankara, and teach this imagined philosophy. So that's most important for this verse. Advaita philosophy covered Buddhism. It's preached by Shankaracharya for the purpose. This Mayavada Advaita philosophy, preached by me in the form of Adi Shankara, deprives the words of the holy text of their actual meaning, and thus it is condemned in the world. It recommends the renunciation of one's own duties, since those who have fallen from their duties say that by the giving up the duties is religiosity. In this way, I have also falsely propounded the identity of the Supreme Lord as an individual soul. In order to bewilder the atheist in Kali Yuga, I describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Gauranga, Krishna, to be without any form and without qualities. Similarly, in expanding Vedanta Mahastra, I describe the same non-scriptural and inauspicious Mayavada philosophy in order to mislead the entire population towards atheism by denying the personal form of my beloved Lord. So that's what Lord Shiva did. Came as a Shankara to delude the entire world. His influence is so strong still. Therefore, we need so many proper, bona fide commentaries on these four verses and entire scriptures to refute that, to reestablish authority. Yes. That's how it's interesting. In the beginning, I forgot to mention that, in the beginning, there was a sound vibration of Om. From that Om, Gayatri Mantra expanded. From Gayatri Mantra, Chatur Shloki expanded. And from Chatur Shloki, entire Vedic scriptures expanded. So it's not just Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the most complete form of the Vedas. So this essence of the essence of the essence of the essence is Srimad Bhagavatam. All the way from Om through Gayatri to Chatur Shloki to Vedas to Bhagavatam. I'm finished here. Somebody has something to speak, say, in regard of this, not something outside of it. And questions may ask to somebody who's advanced. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. Question, just the last thing you mentioned, Om to Gayatri to Chattasmukhi. Yeah. Someone may think, well, where's the Mahamantra in all this? Is it?
What do you think?
Huh?
What do you think?
Well, Om and the Mahamantra are the same. That's Prabhupada sometimes says that, so maybe that would be the answer.
And may they say that the Om, I mean, this is the Om, vibration Om, is encoded within every jiva already. It's in jiva. This is a vibration which is there in us. It's not outside of it. And then, as you said, manifestation, Srila Prabhupada also mentioned that manifestation of Om is Maha Mantra also. I'm not. Anyway, Adiguru or.
I just had one question about Lord Shiva. This way he's taking people away from devotional service.
Yeah. But you cannot say, from Vedic path. So devotional service, Bhakti Yoga is one of the Anga, most important Anga in the Vedas. So he's taking people from accepting Veda, from devotional service, from personality, whatever. Continue, sorry.
But then, we're here with this idea of Shankaracharya.
Yeah.
He's part of the greater plan to bring people towards devotional service. So, I just seen a little bit.
It's mentioned also in many places here also that this was not intended to be permanent philosophy. It was emergency to feed Buddhism. Because Buddhism, they don't accept soul. They don't accept Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what is left? Simply shunya. What is only thing? Only two things spiritual are spirit, soul, and Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nothing else is spiritual. Everything else is subtle or whatever that is. So, their philosophy of Buddhism, total shunyavada. But this is also with purpose to stop animal killing in the name of Vedas. So, this has a purpose. And then Lord Shankara appeared to reestablish Vedas and took on one item, soul exists. So he brought the existence of the soul and denying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada said this was not meant to be permanent philosophy, it's meant temporary philosophy because of emergency to bring people to the Vedic path, to accept Vedas, but in a distorted way, which is also like Mayavada is covered Buddhism. It's almost like Shunyavada. I presume that before Lord Shankara, there was Brahmavada, which is slightly different in its subtlety, Brahmavada. Like Brahmavadis accept that they are Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, but they decided to accept Bhagavan as a supreme. They don't deny them, they are not offenders, but they accept all-pervading Brahman as a supreme absolute truth. So they are not offenders. So before that, four Kumaras were Brahmavadis, Shukadeva Goswami was Brahmavada. But with Shankaracharya, Mayavada was kind of more down core philosophy. So he preached that with a purpose, with the purpose. Therefore, he was disgusted with his followers by saying many times, Bhaja Govinda, worship Govinda. And in his commentary on Bhagavad Gita also, he points out the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he came to delude, preached in personal, but he was personalist himself. He said, Adiguru, sorry.
But just one point is that the Buddhists drove the Vedas out of India.
Out of India.
So Shankaracharya Prabhupada says he preached Buddhism, but based on the Vedas. Same philosophy.
Yeah. I mean, if you take Vedic scriptures, really, if you read, there's so much Vedic points there. There's so much Vedic ideas there within the Buddhist philosophy or writings. Anyway.
So Shankaracharya, he brought the Vedas back. Yeah. That was one of the main things that he did.
Yeah.
So that they could then go forward.
To start, yeah.
On a Vedic basis.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was just thinking about this Om. Govinda knows this, that A-U-M is the same meaning as a Maha Mantra.
Oh.
Maha Mantra Prabhupada says, oh, please, dear Radha, please, Krishna, please engage me in your service. So A is Krishna and M is Radha and U is Radha and M is the Jiva. A-U-M is the three letters of the Om. Aum.
Yeah, I read this somewhere.
Yeah, it's a nice point.
Yeah. Very few people know that.
Well, we all know it now. Except,
yeah, we know. Yeah. I mean, in outside of Ayurvedic, whatever, they don't know that. Yeah. Okay, let's finish here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Purnamasu. There you go.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.